In this Earth Day Friday edition for April 22nd, 2022, we present Local Points of View and a feature interview with Nikki Kolb, a freelance writer in New Hampshire.
Are there any things that you think that we should stop doing?
Absolutely. I think littering is definitely something that we need to talk about.
Definitely refrain from burning plastics or polluting the earth any further than we already do.
And now, Nikki Kolb. A recent article of hers appeared in the spring issue of Sierra Magazine titled, How to Really Bid Good Riddance to Plastic. She offers more insights to her published article.
Yeah, so my name's Nikki Kolb, and I am a freelance writer. And in addition to writing, I also am an operations manager at an organic farming association in New Hampshire. And plastics and reducing plastics, in addition to recycling, have all been passions of mine for, I'd say, 15 to 20 years or so. And I've done a lot of research and looking into these important topics and trying to reduce waste myself and for my growing family.
She and her husband operate the No Stone Unturned Media business, a wife and husband educational business online, nostoneunturned.media.org.
Yes. So No Stone Unturned is a media company and website that my husband and I run together. So we focus on writing, which is one of my areas of interest, and also music. My husband's a musician, and videography. So we work on those three areas together, merging our creative passions and pursuits for our interest is to drive solutions and share information for good.
She speaks about the article, How to Really Bid Good Riddance to Plastic.
First of all, of course, that's a huge topic, right? And it's difficult, as I think the article illustrates a bit, but we wanted to share some ways that individuals, businesses, and governments can actually, you know, really drive these changes. I have had an opportunity to write for Sierra Magazine prior to this article about plastics. And so I knew that this opportunity was coming up to write this section on material world. And I was able to collaborate with the team to publish this piece. Of course, recycling has been going on for many decades, but in terms of plastics recycling, NPR has put out a couple of really great exposés about how plastics recycling has evolved through the years. And one of the things that they discovered was that big plastics and the big oil companies have been involved in sort of pushing the marketing so that consumers have been led to believe that plastics recycling is a lot more effective than it really is. And I think that many organizations have come to show that through the years. Unfortunately, plastics recycling has not been as effective as it has been made to seem. At the same time, I think, and other organizations have put this forth in their reporting, that the onus of recycling has really been put on individuals when companies are creating all of this plastic trash, but then have not really been part of cleaning up the mess, essentially. And so that dichotomy of responsibility and blame isn't really being put on the right sectors of people. So businesses and governments have a lot more of a larger role to play in helping to improve recycling, especially when it comes to plastics.
I notice often on governments and nonprofits start cleanup days, like especially around Earth Day. They're going to Earth Day cleanup. And so they're banding together and they're and picking up trash, and then they'll report how many pounds they have picked up. So yes, I agree with you. It's not the companies that are funding this effort. It's usually the state or the county or a nonprofit organization.
To get individuals on board with getting personally in touch with the plastics pollution crisis and other pollution issues, when you're really, you know, in person picking up trash, it's really helpful to people of all ages to get connected with the issues. And of course, I totally agree with oftentimes the companies most responsible for producing the waste aren't necessarily funding those cleanups. A lot of efforts are coming around extended producer responsibility, which I mentioned in the article. And this is this can come through governmental legislation or through companies' policies where they are working to either pay for or physically take back the post-consumer material that they're creating. And so that's a really great way that companies and governments can work together to improve the plastics pollution issues.
Yeah, I remember taking back our soda bottles, or the glass ones, to the same store that we purchased them, and they'd be stacked up there until somebody came along and from the company and picked them up. You know, and I don't see that anymore.
I was working with glass milk bottles many decades ago, things like that. We need to bring back those types of systems. Doesn't have to be exactly the same, but some new model for today that works.
Do you have any idea what that model might be?
Well, that's a great question. I think there are definitely those types of buyback programs that are happening in various communities. I think that California might be one of those states. In my state, in New Hampshire, we don't have the buyback bottle programs, but more states can definitely implement that. And I think that companies should continue to be responsible for taking back their packaging, especially food packaging. Packaging itself is the largest area of plastic waste. It makes up almost 50% of all plastic waste.
I was talking to somebody about what he does. He's got a large family, several kids, and so they have to buy bulk. They can't buy in bulk, then they have to buy individual packages. So what he would do is he would take containers with him shopping that he would store the grains and cereals into and just leave the empty bags and boxes and wrappings in the cart.
I think something that you just mentioned, though, about purchasing in bulk, I mean, that's a great way that individuals can help to make a difference to cut down on packaging. If folks are living in communities where they have an opportunity to go to like a bulk shopping store where they can get bulk grains or things like that, that's a great way to cut back on that food-related plastic. But of course, stores like that aren't necessarily available in every community. And so that's part of making the distribution of being able to reduce plastics on an individual level isn't easy for everyone based on their life circumstances.
Okay, yes, I understand that. They got the co-ops where you got the bins, so you just bring your own bag or your own container and just fill that up until this COVID hit. And then they said, no, we can't allow you to bring your own packages and your bags anymore. Then, and I'm wondering, I think one of the questions I posed to you is, how long does this COVID bacteria, it's airborne. It's not by touch. That was one of the first things we did. Make sure you wash your hands. Okay, that's good. But then you have to clean all your surfaces. And I'm thinking, well, how long does it stay on that surface? It doesn't transfer through plastic surfaces. Well, that's a question I pose to you. Do you know anything more about that I don't know? We are listening to Nikki Kolb, independent writer, about her insights to really bid good riddance to plastic.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for asking me that question in advance. And I also, of course, thought about the same thing. I always bring my reusable bags at the grocery store. And then when COVID, you know, hit all of our communities, of course, the grocery stores in my area too said we can't accept the reusable bags right now. We had to all use plastic. We too were disinfecting our groceries out of concern. And so in the early days of COVID and the virus, I think this was a widespread phenomenon when the virus wasn't totally well understood yet in terms of its transmissibility. But as far as I'm aware in my research and in speaking with experts, that the issue of transmission on surfaces as a high level concern has been debunked. The likelihood of COVID-19 being spread on surface material is understood to be very low today. And as you said, transmission's happening predominantly through the air. So hand washing does go a long way if folks are still concerned about the very low likelihood that you could pick it up from a surface. But we don't need to be disinfecting our groceries, and we can use reusable materials now. And both the World Health Organization and the CDC both advise, in addition to that, that regular citizens don't need to even be wearing like plastic gloves to go to the grocery store and things like that. Even in healthcare situations, the need for plastic gloves is low as well in most COVID-related situations.
Something else about the plastic recycling process. Did you mention in your article, or did I read it someplace else, about the plastic bottles? Okay, you get these beverages like the teas, and then it comes in a plastic bottle, and then that plastic bottle has another cellophane covering on it, a wrapping that actually has the product name. Are you supposed to take that cellophane off that bottle before you try to recycle it? And if you leave it on, do they throw out the whole thing?
That's a great question. So I don't know if I know the answer to that specifically. I didn't mention that in my article, but definitely I've come across that too. And I think that that might be a question for an individual's recycling center or to ask your municipality how they would handle that. My gut feeling is that you probably wouldn't want to remove it because it could gunk up the system. I think that a lot of issues with recycling is that we're overzealous. I've been that way in the past too. I'm like, oh, this is something I can recycle. Great. I really want to do as much as I can with recycling, but we really need to be looking at what our recycling centers can actually accept. And when we're offering items that they cannot, it does make it so that potentially even large amounts of recycling material get contaminated and they can't get recycled, period. So this is something that we have to pay attention to.
Items that you did mention is the compostable plastics. Now that has a separate place that has to go, and they're not available everywhere. There's only certain places to dispose these things. So what's the story behind that?
What you mentioned about the compostable plastics from the article is exactly right, that oftentimes they typically require some industrial scale processes or facilities to break down. And so when they're just getting broken down in our same trash bag of garbage from our homes, that process that's needed through the industrial scale composting is not happening. And so then they can emit other greenhouse gases like methane that can be very damaging to the environment. So although compostable plastics are definitely a really great stepping stone and something that we can continue to innovate, I don't think we're there yet on a broad scale level because we don't have wide access to the facilities that are needed to really break down those compostable plastics, unfortunately.
Where do you put them? And who takes them? And do you have to have now another container to store all of these things? And so you're separating them at your home.
Right. So I think sometimes, for example, there's a cafe, a chain of cafes in my community that I know uses some compostable plastics, and those go into a separate bin. And then they're taken away by a separate composting specific company. And so that's the way I think that it's working right now in various communities. But on a wide scale, most municipalities don't have those types of composting services for residents.
Well, what's it going to take to get some more? I mean, my goodness, how big is this facility? That does it take up acres or what?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I'm not sure about that, but I think certainly in one way, of course, things like this always take funding, right? But then I think in addition to that, laws in various states could be could make it difficult to implementing those types of solutions. I know in our state, we have some rules against having industrial scale composting, unfortunately, and there might be other states that have similar laws in effect that haven't changed. So that's part of the work of citizens and lawmakers to try to improve legislations to bring these services into our communities.
So it's policies. It's who gets an office and how do we influence them? Clothing. Let's talk about clothing. A lot of clothing is disposed of, and a lot of it is synthetic materials. So what's your suggestion here?
Thank you. Yes. So textiles make up the they're the second largest sector of plastics waste. I think it's 14% of plastic waste is textiles. So trying to move away from purchasing those synthetic fabrics like polyester, nylon is another one. And also purchasing secondhand clothes or other garments is a great way to help. So even if it is a synthetic-based fabric, getting a secondhand piece of clothing is better than buying a virgin synthetic plastic-based article of clothing. And trying to use natural materials is also always great. And then as a user ourselves, then again, putting that forward by trying to donate materials that are, or rather clothing that's still in good condition. Only 1% of clothing is recycled, which is a very low number.
Absolutely. That's a low number. Yeah. Is there something else that you think we should be aware of? Or
I think, yeah, just one of the things that I want to emphasize is that individuals, we all have an opportunity to do our part by reducing plastics in various ways in our lives. Things we've talked about, seeing how we can cut back on plastics in our clothing, on packaging, looking at, you know, our daily use. Is it, are we using a lot of diapers? Are we using a lot of plastic bottles and things like that? But it's also really important that we recognize that this massive problem really needs to be solved by the businesses and corporations who are creating the plastics, and also by governments who can help to solve this problem through policies. So all three of those groups of people need to be working together nationally and internationally to solve the problem. And I think the narrative for a long time has been on individuals' choices, and it's, the problem is much far beyond the individuals. We need governments and corporations to step in and help as well. And again, that's not to say that individuals can't help. We certainly can, and we're driving these changes, but we can't do it all by ourselves. I wanted to add to something that you said earlier, and that I was trying to touch on earlier, but didn't quite find the right words, is that access to recycling and to the ability to just reduce plastics in general isn't equitable across the board in communities. Many communities just don't have the ability to recycle internationally. There's a lack of recycling services, especially in developing countries, and even in the United States, we have many communities that don't have equal access to recycling and also the ability to just reduce the use of plastics based on the types of stores that folks live near or other just life circumstances. So that's an issue.
Well, yes, I agree with that, because we drove the changes to use more plastics when they became available. I thought, oh my goodness, I don't have to do that anymore. It's I could just throw it away. And so that became what we have today. And then sometimes what we experience is people try to get rid of their plastics by burning it. And that, what goes in the air, has to come down someplace. And in our case, what happens is it goes into the air and then it settles down, but it settles down mostly in water. And so now the fish are consuming it, and then we consume the fish. I guess in species term, what goes around comes around.
As you mentioned, it's harmful for all forms of life. We have plastic pollution in the ocean and waterways. It's affecting aquatic life at all levels. And of course, humans are ingesting plastics as well. I read, I think just a week or two ago, that microplastic was found in human blood for the first time. So that's a concern. I'd say too, just going back to what we were talking about when you asked me if there's other things to add, that I mentioned this in the article, that there's many organizations now who are making various products out of recycled plastic. And I think when we need to buy something new, we can look and see if there are options or companies that we can go with who have values of sustainability and things like that, so that we can just continue to show up in our purchases and use our purchasing power, as they say, you know, to help drive changes. And at the same time, also being aware of sometimes sustainability being used as like a greenwashing tool. So trying to do some research if possible.
What would be the worst possible outcome if we don't pay attention to this?
Well, there are several things, but one is that plastics pollution is an enormous problem for the climate crisis because of how plastic is produced. It's helping to drive the environmental degradation because of extraction, because of production. And if we don't do anything, that's going to continue. Plastic production is just on track to grow across the decades if we don't do anything. And I think that the worst outcome is that things just carry on with business as usual, and we continue degrading the climate and the environment. And in tandem with that, pollution increases of our existing natural resources, like the water, the soil, and we continue to ingest plastics on a greater and greater basis, which the effects are, you know, we're still discovering what those effects will be, but the outlook doesn't seem very good.
Okay, let's jump to the next question then. What would be the best possible outcome if we start addressing the riddance of plastic?
That's a great question. Thank you for following up with that. I think the best thing would be that we could turn the situation around, that we could create plastics that are environmentally friendly. There's some research going into that right now, using mycelium and bacteria and things like that, things that will decompose, and that we can create more of that circular economy for plastics that organizations are talking about, and that we can improve the future for, you know, our future generations and we can't undo what's happened, but we can stop the progression and hopefully heal the planet faster by turning off the plastics tap, essentially, as many people say.
Yes, yes, I agree with that too. So what will it take? What do you think it would take in order for us to accomplish what would be the best possible outcome? And how could we create something that's kind of like on a, I don't know if there's a win-win situation in this, but there's got to be a winning situation. So what will that take?
Well, I think that will take those national, state, national, and international policies to get us there, and also the will of the corporations who are doing most of the plastic pollution, and the cooperation of individuals all working together, as we mentioned before. And I think there's hope that that will happen. There's been mention of a global plastics treaty, and that actually has been started to be discussed at the UN level. It was supposed to be discussed in February. And I think that that offers a lot of hope that countries across the globe are taking this really seriously. And there's also been major corporations that have also been on board with pushing towards having a global treaty on plastics to try to reduce plastics. So I think there is hope.
I'm glad you said that. That's really good. Yeah, because I wasn't aware of that. What I liked about this interview is that you came up with a lot of really good responses and helpful, and I really like your passion about what you're doing. And what I learned from it is just your last statement about the whole addressing in the UN level. I wasn't aware of that. Thank you very much for that. Now, with that knowledge, I have hope, and maybe I can drive this a little bit further in our community and local area. So thank you very much for that. So my other last questions to you is, how do you feel about this interview? And what did you learn that could help you be successful?
Yeah, I really enjoyed talking with you, and I'm grateful that you reached out to me, and you know, thank you for reading my article and for your interest and passion in bringing this topic to your community as well. And I think in talking with you candidly about these issues, I feel warmed to know that you're going to be sharing this with your community through this broadcast, and that you have a passion and are coming from a place in your life where you've seen the changes over time. And I've learned, you know, through you personally and that. And yeah, I just really appreciate your time and you asking me to do this.
So thank you very much for everything you're doing.
A huge takeaway, right? We all can just, if we just do our best, then the world will be a better place.
Oh, yes. Okay, very good. Nice working with you.
All right, you too. Thanks, Joseph.
You're welcome. Take care.
Yeah, I'm not good at this myself, but I think we should stop driving so much. You know, we should probably be getting rid of single-use plastics as much as possible. And just, I think just as much as we can, trying to think about the environment, think about the earth as best as possibly can. If that's on our mind, I think we'll all do better. And if we each do a little bit better, I think it'll be good for this earth. The only one we have.
So how important is our land?
This is our home. I mean, how important is anybody's home? This is where we come from. This is our people. So, I mean, I guess that's depending on the person of how important their home is. To me, it's very important. I mean, this is where I'm raising my children. So, of course, I would want to put love and pride into it.
The Friday Edition is a production of KIDE, Hoopa Tribal Radio. The producer, host, and engineer has been Joseph Orozco, lead producer. Book and local voices for Earth Day were, respectively, Lisa Sanderson and Joe Davis, and Keoki Burbank and Charlena Luna. We posted the URL link to the UN press release regarding steps to beat plastic pollution mentioned in this program. Please see our website, podcast, and download Friday edition Earth Day post for 4/22/2022. Thank you for listening. Please take care.